lovely young Covfefes. All right, Young Turks with Cenk Fefe, Uyghur Fefe. All right, that's a story we're going to get to in a second. So first segment, I'll be honest with you, is going to be filled with stories about what an idiot Donald Trump is. I'm keeping it real, okay? But I got to let you know, we got to let the world know, because it is incredibly important and could have devastating consequences. Speaking of which, in the second segment, I will tell you about those consequences, including the Paris climate deal. We are pulling out, we are withdrawing, if you will. And the withdrawal method is not going to work for us, which is not unusual. I'm going to tell you how much money it's going to cost the US to do that. And then the Portland terror attacks, the guy showed up in court today and said that he was just practicing his freedom of speech as he murdered those three people, or murdered two people and tried to murder the third. Okay. So all that's coming up on today's Young Turks program, or Turk Fefe. So if you haven't seen Donald Trump's tweet, you have no idea why I keep saying Fefe, so let me explain it to you. Let's get started. So last night, Donald Trump sends a mysterious tweet that the whole world is talking about today. Now, let me give you a quick warning, this story is nonsense. It is not important substantively, except for the very, very end, which finally you get some sort of relevance to the story where you'll get a sense of what this administration is like. So in the beginning, he sends out this tweet. He says, despite the constant negative press, covfefe. What that means, no one knows. Likely he meant despite the constant negative press coverage. Despite the negative press coverage, what? I don't know. Why he spelled it covfefe, no one knows. Okay, and then it's Donald Trump's account. He's only the president of the United States, so nobody's double checking. By the way, he misspells on tweets all the time, including enormously important tweets like White House counsel, right? And he'll write the wrong counsel. We're lucky he doesn't misspell house. Anyway, so this stays up till around 5:50 a.m. This morning. So for hours and hours and hours the whole night. Now, again, for people making a big deal out of that, okay, they're home alone, I get it. There's no knuckleheads who are actually even bothering to look at the president's Twitter account when he tweets things that are actually monumentally important, threatening war, etc. Okay, so a slight issue, but mainly everybody's having fun. And then Trump jumps in the morning when he tweets out, who can figure out the true meaning of covfefe? Enjoy. As if he meant it. Of course you didn't mean it, dude. You just say it was a typo and we're done. Anyway, that's minor. If him joking about it, God bless, okay? And then he was not alone. Everybody started to joke about it. Rachel Dratch, I can give you literally thousands of these, but I'll give you just two. She writes, it's 5:50 a.m. and his tweet is gone. The sun rises and we all walk home in our party clothes. Was it all a dream, just a dream? The wind whispered, covfefe. But my favorite was George Wallace. What's so funny? I got three nieces named covfefe. Okay, that is very funny. Okay, so I jumped in on it, of course. So I tweeted, woke up in the morning, had a great cup of covfefe. Now I'm ready to tackle the world fefe. Now, my twist on it is, and I'm sure there's better twists, and we're going to get to Urban Dictionary in a second because it's already there. Is that I'm just going to add fefe to things that are fun. Like, oh, I'm going to watch some TV fefe. Who are you going to the movies with? Oh, my boo fefe. It's kind of a fun word. I'll give Trump credit on this one. All right, Urban Dictionary, let's pull it up. What do they have it as? When you want to say coverage, but your hands are too small to hit all the letters on your keyboard. Damn, that stung a little bit. I like my definition a little bit better though. Okay, so now any relevant part of this story? A little bit at the end, because Sean Spicer was asked about it. First of all, he's in a witness protection program. They're not letting them do video anymore of the press conference, or at least they didn't today. And they said, you can't cover the audio live either in case we screw up massively. And instead of just writing covfefe, we say it out loud. So we have audio that was released later of the press conference. This is so bizarre, they're such weirdos. And he's gonna make it weirder here, because somebody's gonna joke around and ask what the president tweeted about. So what does it mean? There's such a simple answer to this, but instead, here's what Sean Spicer says.
You think people should be concerned that the president posted somewhat of an incoherent tweet last night and that it then stayed up for hours?
No.
Why did it stay up so long? Is no one watching this?
No, I think the president and a small group of people know exactly what he meant. Blake.
Dude, it doesn't mean anything. It was an obvious typo. Are you guys mental? So they laughed at you. They laughed in your face. Of course they should. The president and a small group of people will know what he means. No, you don't. What does it mean then? It was a goddamn typo. Why don't you just say it? Because they're inveterate liars. They're pathological liars. They lie about everything. They're like, oh no, Covfefe has a very important meaning, like Rosebud, but we cannot really reveal that to you right now. We're against the leakers. Look, there's so many important Trump stories about how he endangers the world that I'm trying not to get stuck on every tweet. But let's just note for the record, and this is a fun game I like to do, what if it were Obama or Hillary Clinton? If Hillary Clinton sent out that tweet in the middle of the night about Covfefe, you know what everybody would say. Oh, we knew it. She's got the brain damage. That's why she was wobbly. And now all of a sudden with the Covfefe, and then they go and lie about it. Of course, the Hillary people are all liars, right? And they're like, oh, Covfefe has a secret meaning. Right? So we laugh it off because we already know Trump's an idiot and a liar, but let's not normalize it too much. God damn it, it was so simple. Just say it was a typo, nobody caught it, and move on with your lives. But they can't help themselves. All right, so now let's go on to another fun Trump story. But again, it's a little bit more relevant here because state of mind of the president, unfortunately, is very important. CNN has a new story out about how the president is home alone and kind of bummed. State of mind of the president, relevant to the whole world. He's making important decisions right now, including on climate change. So let's find out what his state of mind is. Gloria Borger on CNN says, so Trump returns to the White House this week just as he left, lonely, angry, and not happy with much of anyone. So apparently these knuckleheads thought, well, we'll go abroad and we'll kill it on the trip, and everybody will come back and tell us how great a president we are. You really thought it was going to go down that way? You really thought? First of all, you didn't think there'd be any issues when you were meeting with the Pope who doesn't agree with you, the NATO countries who don't agree with you, and then going around bowing to the Saudi kings. You thought that would go awesome and that all of a sudden people would forget about Russia? And he's such a child. He comes back, they're like, oh, the Russian investigation is still going on. And now they're talking to Jared Kushner and my lawyer, Michael Cohen. Now I'm lonely and angry. I'm so sad. Are you going to be okay? Or are you going to keep crying all day long? This is a guy who, you know, would call people baby on Twitter. Well, and of course his favorite is sad, exclamation point. Kind of where we are, isn't it? So they get a lot more. CNN continues, the presidency Donald Trump is discovering is not an easy or natural fit. Well, you can say that again. The presidency turns out is not an easy job if you are very, very stupid. Okay, and an anonymous source says he now lives within himself, which is a dangerous place for Donald Trump to be. That's a source that's close to Donald Trump, not against him. That's one of his guys, and he's like, he's within Donald Trump, and that is a very scary place. I agree that it is scary. Now it's scary for the whole world because it has consequences. And the source continues, I see him emotionally withdrawing. He's gained weight. He doesn't have anyone whom he trusts. Yeah, well, look, he fires the people who were close to him. All the guys who thought he was on his side, Rudy Giuliani, Chris Christie, Newt Gingrich, he didn't hire them. He only retains them for as long as they're useful. All the people who gave him money, that's the only thing he cares about. He put them all over his cabinet. And he goes and does crazy things and then he expects people to fix it. In fact, we'll get to that in a second. And when they can't, he gets mad at them. But it's not their fault, it's your fault. And so when he turns inward, all he sees is the sound of darkness. And so this is not going well, man. This is the most powerful guy on earth, unfortunately. And he's going to a bad, bad spot. He's already in a bad spot. It's only getting worse. So the anonymous source continues, he will have to realize that all this trip really did was hit the pause button. It's because the child, the man child, thought that he'd go abroad, and then when he came back with the Mickey Mouse hat on from Disney World, everybody'd be like, oh my God, we love you now, Donald. Because all he wants is the love, right? But he can't get it because he's not doing anything that's rational or helping the country or popular. So the more he doesn't get that love that he so desperately, desperately needs, the angrier and angrier he gets. He apparently lashed out, according to another White House source, at his advisors and said, you guys work for me, fix this. Well, you can't fix things that you broke, Donald, and you're the president. The buck stops there. You're supposed to fix it. Instead, all you do is break it day in, day out. You told him to go lie for you and say that you fired James Comey because of how he treated Hillary Clinton. What a preposterous lie that was. And then you went out and tweeted and went on TV and said, oh, you fired him because of the quote Russia thing. Then people are beginning to realize, you know what, it's an occupational hazard to do what the president tells you to do, because he's just going to throw you under the bus a little bit later anyway. You're going to ruin your reputation, and it's not going to help, because the president is too stupid to realize that don't say you fired the FBI director because he was investigating your connection to Russia. That's obstruction of justice. But Sean Spicer didn't do that. Nobody else did that. You did that. But he never, ever wants to take personal responsibility. So this is the great irony. You know, conservatives talk about all these things that they accuse liberals of, and then they turn around and do it themselves. Trump has never taken personal responsibility for a single thing, including all of his bankruptcies, all the frauds that he ran, Trump University, all the things that he did to women, including the ones that he bragged about on tape. And so you think he's going to take responsibility now? He's going to turn around and go, no, you think it's your fault, not my fault. We have a man child as president. So now back to CNN's reporting. They say some complain he's getting bad advice, legal and political. Quote, no one is giving him the landscape. This is how it works. This is what you should do or not do. And no one has enough control or security to do that, says one source. But that begs the question, of course, of whether a sitting president should actually need to be told that he ought not try to interfere with a federal counterintelligence investigation. Well, that's exactly what the problem is. That he's too stupid to realize that you shouldn't admit obstruction of justice on national television. You can't help the helpless. So finally, they say there is some hope, says one ally, that the president will now be forced to settle down. He only really listens when he's down in the dumps. Are you okay, Donnie? Are you down in the dumps? Do people not like you because you're an idiot and keep getting yourself in more and more trouble? Then look, maybe you should hire competent people and people secure enough, as they point out here, and strong enough to be able to say, hey, that's not a good idea to fire the FBI director while he's investigating you. It's not a good idea to go to your CIA director and your director of national intelligence and tell them to stop an active investigation of you. That's a violation of the law, so maybe you shouldn't do that, you idiot. You might not want to add the last part, he'll fire you on the spot. But if you fire everybody who's got constructive criticism for you, well, lo and behold, you're left with a bunch of incompetent yes men. And of course, at the very, very center of that is the epicenter of incompetence, and that's Donald J. Trump. Okay, so now that brings us to the next story. So the president is down in the dumps, according to CNN. They had an article about how he's very sad after he came back from the trip abroad, and he only wanted it to be 5 days. It was too long. He gets tired. He wants to take a nap. But it was 9 days, and he thought it was going to improve everything. But they say that that's not true, that he's lonely and angry and gaining weight. So what is President Trump going to do? He's going to release a statement through the White House spokesperson, Hope Hicks, explaining that he is not lonely or angry, and that he gets along great with everybody. But since it's Donald Trump, he's going to do it Kim Jong-un style. If you put this in any movie, you'd say, no, there's no, come on, man, it's way over the top. No president actually put out a statement saying that. No human being would put out a statement saying this is so preposterous. So let's listen. The president of the United States actually put out this statement. President Trump has a magnetic personality and exudes positive energy, which is infectious to those around him. I agree that he is infectious. He has an unparalleled ability to communicate with people, whether he's speaking to a room of three or an arena of 30,000. He has built great relationships throughout his life and treats everyone with respect. Really, Donald Trump treats everyone with respect. Anyway, he is brilliant with a great sense of humor and a giant cock. Oh, sorry, that last was not in there, but I'm surprised it's not. Anyway, they continue. And an amazing ability to make people feel special and aspire to be more than even they thought possible. Dude, if I was the president, funny thought, and they ran down by me, I'd be like, who wrote that crap? Because I have to fire them immediately. How embarrassing would that be to put that out there? Like, no, we're not going to make a spectacle of ourselves by saying that I'm a brilliant person. I'm infectious. Well, again, there's probably some infections going around Donald Trump. Anyway, and I have an amazing ability, and people aspire to more than they could possibly be because of me. And this is North Korean style propaganda, where they claim that Kim Jong-un bowls a 300 every time he bowls. He once on a 18-hole course got a 27 score in golf. No, not 72, 27. I'm surprised they didn't say 18, that every one of them was a hole in one. Speaking of a hole in one, they say that Kim Jong-un does not have an anus. Hold for it. Okay, you think Trump's not going to put out a statement saying that the president has no anus? You want to talk about a hole in one? Okay. By the way, who wrote this? You think Hope Hicks wrote this? No! John Miller wrote this. John Barron wrote this. That's the pseudonyms that Donald Trump used to use when he would call the press. I mean, he was a grown ass man pretending to be a billionaire. And he would call the press and go, hello, this is John Miller. And Donald Trump is fantastic. When Madonna says that she turned him down, no way. Donald Trump turned her down. He would do that because he's that mentally deranged. So who do you think wrote this? You know who wrote it. Donald J. Trump. The only thing missing is the anus line. And I'm telling you, hold for it. Okay. I gotta take a break, guys. What am I doing? Okay, when we come back, this lunatic affects world policy in a devastating way. I give you all that news so that you have context for what's unfortunately in the dark, dark, lonely mind of Donald Trump when he makes the kind of decisions, world-changing decisions that he made that I'm gonna tell you about when we come back. All right, back on the Young Turks, there's so many great tweets here. You're going to be shocked to find out that a lot of them are about Covfefe. So Proud Socialist writes in, I think impeachment Fefe has a very nice ring to it. I like it. Ted Martin writes in, Covfefe, it is not that they are liars, they are, but Trump cannot ever admit a mistake, ever. Great point, that is exactly right. And I should have said that, oh no, you get a t-shirt. Anytime you got a point that I should have said during the story, we're going to throw a t-shirt at you. ShopTYT.com to check out all of our TYT merchandise. Thank you, Ted. And then Tanya Pavlova writes in, maybe Covfefe is the name of the creature that lives in Donald Trump's head. That sounds right. You know what it reminds me of? Carcosa. In True Detective, for a series of True Detective, Carcosa, Covfefe. So if you watch that, you'll understand what I'm saying. Okay, Mike says he's gained weight. Hoo boy, I can't wait for Chris Christie to tell him to lay off that chocolate cake. Greta says, sounds like Donnie needs extensive therapy. Too bad it'll be considered a pre-existing condition under his healthcare plan. But don't boach, I like it. And finally, Control Left says, did Trump's doctor write that White House statement? And I was thinking the same thing. Yeah, you know why? Because Trump's doctor didn't write the doctor's note either. Trump wrote it. That's why it sounds similar. Okay, so now let's go on to important news. So one of the primary issues that people were concerned about if Donald Trump got elected was climate change and whether we would pull it out of the Paris climate deal. Now, almost every country in the world has signed this. I'll tell you the two others that have not signed it. And President Obama did not go to Senate for ratification. And he said the executive branch can handle it, and he did. And we were instrumental in making this deal happen so that we wouldn't melt the planet. And I'm going to show you some numbers on how bad it is in a little bit. And the problem with that strategy was if a Republican won, he could just simply back out as president. And oh boy, it looks like that is the direction that Donald Trump is heading. He tweeted today, "I will be announcing my decision on the Paris Accord over the next few days." And then in bold, because he's a child, "Make America great again." So that is an indication that he will be pulling out. So there was a battle between the, I don't want to say moderate forces, there are no moderate forces in the White House. But the slightly non-insane forces of Ivanka Trump, Jared Kushner, the Goldman Sachs guys, against the nationalists. So the Steve Bannons, etc., who said, yeah, no, no, we told everybody we'd burn the place down. Well, now let's literally do it. And you know, you can't back out of this campaign promise, and it looks like he's going to go in the Steve Bannon direction. So now let's talk about the consequences. Under the terms of the deal, the US cannot officially withdraw until November 2019. But even an announcement that the country is looking to leave the deal shows that the White House has no plans to meet earlier targets for slashing greenhouse gas emissions. So that's it. I mean, if they make an executive decision on it, it's over. They won't be participating. You think Trump's going to be like, oh no, but we said we'd be in through 2019, so let's spend a lot of money going in that direction anyway. No, he's going to tell them, no, we're done with it. No enforcement and power everything down. In fact, in March, Trump ordered the Environmental Protection Agency to review the Clean Power Plan, a sweeping regulation passed by former President Barack Obama to limit emissions from the utility sector, by far the country's biggest emitter. The policy was already stayed by the Supreme Court in February 2016 as a result of a lawsuit filed by former Oklahoma Attorney General Scott Pruitt, who is now Trump's head of the EPA. Without the Clean Power Plan, the US wouldn't even come close to meeting its goals laid out in the 2015 Paris Agreement. So a lot of people are acting outraged and surprised today, but come on, of course you shouldn't be surprised. They already stopped the Clean Power Plan, and without it, there's no way we would have been in compliance with the Paris Accords. So it was just a matter of officially saying it. Second of all, gee, I wonder which direction he was going to go when he took the guy who was suing the EPA to make sure that they could not be in compliance with this accord and made him the head of the EPA. This is not complicated. I know healthcare is complicated in North Korea, and nobody knew that. But this one is not complicated. Of course, he was going to back out. And so, this is the consequences for voting for Donald Trump. What did you think was going to happen? So, Huffington Post continues to explain, somewhat ironically, major oil, gas, and coal companies, along with a plethora of other big corporations, urged Trump to keep the US in the Paris Agreement. So even the oil companies are like, well, dude, look, we want to make a ton of money, and I'm glad you put Scott Pruitt in there, and I'm glad you're doing deregulation so I can make more money. But you really probably should follow this plan, because we have research showing the planet is in fact heating up, and that is in fact going to cause horrific weather patterns and climate change, which is going to hurt all of us. So even the oil companies are like, yeah, but we really shouldn't do this, Donald. This is actually a really, really bad idea. You know, the one guy inside the administration that we know for sure is against pulling out of the Paris deal. Are you sitting? Rex Tillerson, the former CEO of ExxonMobil. Because you know why? Because those guys did research on it. They know what their internal research is. They're not sharing it with the public. But he's seen the research and he's like, well, I do have kids and grandkids. No, Donald, you really, really shouldn't pull out of this agreement. Climate change is kind of real. But Donald's like, no, Steve Bannon told me it's not real, so we're out. That was my campaign promise. The Trump administration is still required to regulate carbon dioxide emissions as a public health threat under a 2007 Supreme Court ruling. How it plans to fulfill that legal responsibility is unclear. No, it's Huffington Post reporting. It's super clear. He won't do that at all. You think he's going to follow the law? Like, oh no, but there was a Supreme Court decision in 2007. So Scott Pruitt, the one destroying all the regulations. Make sure you follow those regulations. The Supreme Court ruled that way. No, it's going to be nearly impossible to check. They're not going to enforce it at all. Okay, now about the ramifications. Quitting the Paris Agreement strikes a major diplomatic blow to the US. Only war-torn Syria and Nicaragua, the second poorest country in the Western Hemisphere, are not included in the accord. Retreating from the agreement, which the US took a lead role in brokering, brands the nation as, quote, a rogue country and, quote, a climate pariah, diplomats said. Congratulations, America, you're now a rogue country. Even Syria probably thought about it. They just couldn't come to an agreement, right? Like Assad and ISIS are like, I mean, climate change is really bad, right? But okay, look, let's keep fighting and then we'll figure out if we should do something about climate change. So congratulations, America. We're now in the camp with Syria and Nicaragua. Well, how does the administration and their allies respond to this? This is my favorite quote. Trump's EPA transition team leader, Myron Bell, said, who cares? Oh, well, that's sophisticated. So we're now a rogue nation. The temperatures are going up dramatically and actually worse than the scientists expected, because they're generally conservative, not politically, but in their nature and in the reporting of their facts. So it's actually worse than we expected. Oh, who cares? On the other hand, who cares? Well, it turns out there is a literal answer to that question. The American people care. Ready for this polling? The deal had overwhelming support in the country. 61% of Americans said the country should remain in the deal, while just 17% support withdrawing, and 21% aren't sure, according to a HuffPost YouGov poll conducted earlier this month. That's not from years ago, that's earlier this month. So 61-17, and the genius political strategist Steve Bannon and Donald Trump decided, oh yeah, 17 is a bigger number than 61. Well, they can't read numbers, that's why they don't realize climate change is real. So are we surprised that they can't recognize which side the American people are? So it's gonna be deeply unpopular, but it is what it is. And then you shouldn't have voted for him. If it's 61-7, what did you think? He was joking? We told you that it would be devastating for climate change if Donald Trump got elected, but people didn't take it seriously. Okay, now let's talk about the economic situation. The economic effects of leaving the Paris Agreement would likely be devastating. The US is poised to lose access to fast-growing clean energy markets as Europe, India, and China gain major footholds in an industry estimated to be worth $6 trillion by 2030. Countries that tax emissions could now put a tariff on American-made imports, complicating Trump's plans to reclaim the US mantle as a top manufacturing hub. So the reality is, we are screwed. We're screwed economically, we're screwed in terms of the effects on the planet. And of course, Trump and his nationalist cadre in the White House don't care, literally. They say, who cares? Who cares about the planet? Who cares about our health, our well-being? These are dangerous, dangerous times. In fact, let me skip ahead here and show you some of the graphs. Let me go to graphic 62 here. So this is the temperature, average temperature, and you can see from 1980 to 2015 what has happened. If you can't tell that that is going up significantly, once again, you have issues with numbers and issues with your eyes. Oh, what do you mean warming? Where's the warming? It's right there, knucklehead. It's right there. Okay, average temperature in February was 1.35 degrees Celsius above the norm for the 1951 to 1980 period. And these fluctuations make an enormous difference. I'll show you one last one here. Average monthly Arctic sea ice extent from 1979 to 2013. Yes, that chart is going way, way down. And there is one other devastating consequence of that. That is, if the ice melts in the Arctic and in the poles, then methane that is trapped within the ice gets released. And methane's even worse than carbon. So once the methane gets released, we can't put it back in the ice. You literally cannot put that genie back in the bottle. We told you that electing Donald Trump was not a short-term problem. It could have devastating long-term consequences. And here we are. Okay, now let me tell you one more thing about this climate deal. No, not that. Let me stay on the earlier graphic. So Donald Trump has basically announced that and strongly hinted at that they're going to pull out of the Paris Climate Accord, which will have devastating consequences for climate change and, by the way, for our economy, because we will lose access to markets and fall behind in the clean energy market, which is thought to be worth about $6 trillion and in about 15 years or so. So that's a giant amount of money, but we won't get to see it because Donald Trump wants to be a nationalist and doesn't believe in science. But he's not alone. Don't think that this is just a Donald Trump move. George Bush had pulled us out of the Kyoto Protocol. When Republicans come in, they say they don't believe in climate change. They say we don't believe in science. We told you we don't believe in science. I don't know why you doubted us. So just to reinforce that, former Senator Tom Coburn is going to go on television and he's going to brag about what a fool he is and how incredibly ignorant he is. So let's hear him.
No, it doesn't have anything to do about climate. It has to do with a lousy agreement. We pay a bigger price than anybody else in the world pays in that agreement. It wasn't balanced.
Okay, you know who emits the most amount of carbon per capita? We do. What, you think we just randomly paying more? Because the reality is we've been putting that carbon into the air the whole time and not paying a goddamn thing. So some of the smaller countries are like, well, we didn't screw up the climate. You guys did. I mean, US is not alone, of course. But per capita, we put out a lot more carbon than the overwhelming majority of the countries. So that deal was in fact fair. You know who brokered the deal, who led the negotiations? We did. So he's absolutely wrong about that. But when it gets to the science, it gets even worse. So here, man.
Your opposition is it was a lousy agreement.
Yeah, almost everything
unfair.
That the Obama administration did in terms of agreements.
Okay, we now go to the core of it. Is the planet warming? And if it's warming, is it the result of human activity? Because that's what the Paris Accord was designed to address.
I understand. And the studies right now would tell you that we're not warming right now.
What are you talking about? That's not what the studies say at all. But they're not attached to reality. And that's why the Republican Party is so dangerous. When you have a party that not only is roughly half the country, but it now has gained the House of Representatives, the Senate, and the White House, and the Supreme Court, it is monumentally dangerous to the entire planet that they are detached from reality and don't believe in facts. Let's show you graphic 62. So the reality of the temperature rising is that it is a stone cold fact or a stone hot fact. So yes, the temperatures have been rising. Tom Coburn, that's the reality. If you can't read, that's not our problem, that's your problem. If you don't understand math, you don't understand science, I'm not surprised because you're an ignorant, ignorant conservative who doesn't believe in reality and science. Well, what does Yahweh say? No, what do the scientists, what does data say? But they don't believe in data, they don't believe in facts. Anybody who votes for a Republican should have their head examined. You're voting for these barbarians that don't believe in science. All right, now listen to him make up more facts right here.
If you go and poll, what does the actual data say? I don't think that you'll see 99%. You may see 75-25, you may see 25-70. I don't know that. Nobody knows because we've had this political mantra out there that says, well, if you doubt what we said, you're a flat earther. You don't agree.
Okay. He just said, well, nobody knows. What do the scientists think? Nobody knows. That's not true. We do know. They did meta studies. They looked at all of the published science on climate change. And Stuart Varney said 99%. To be fair, it's not exactly correct. 97% of the papers on this matter from scientists that go into the journals, etc., that are real science, say that climate change is real and because of man-made. 97%. He's like, I don't know, it could be 75-25, nobody knows. No, everybody knows but you, because you're a moron who doesn't bother to do any research. Oh, I don't know. And then he went on to say, well, it could be 25-75. 25-75, I don't know, I don't read. I don't believe in words either. I don't believe in anything, because I'm a moron Republican. So keep electing us. We don't bother to look at facts at all. It's 97%, could be 25-75, I don't know. I'm pulling things up right from out of here. So Could be $5.95. Could be anything. What would you like? Could be $10.90, $20.80. What do you got? What do you got? What do you got? But you throw that feces up against the wall, but you do it on a national, international scale, it hurts all of us. It hurts the planet. Okay, so here comes more lies from Tom Coburn.
I went into the Congress in 1995. They told me the same thing, that the oceans are rising. You know, so now here we are, some 22 years later, right?
Mm-hmm.
And what's the difference? 1 millimeter? 2 millimeters?
Is that it?
I don't know.
No, I don't
but
know.
The fact is we've not seen a major encroachment.
I don't know. I don't know what to do. I gotta look it up. What is it, 1 millimeter, 2 millimeter? Well, you know what we did? We looked it up. The National Ocean Service at NOAA, that's the United States government scientists, reports that the global sea level average in 2014 was 2.6 inches. That is 66 millimeters above the 1993 average. So he's talking about how we went to Congress in 95, 93, 95, obviously similar. So, and that's to 2014. Now we're in 2017, it's much higher. So let's be conservative though. Is it 1 millimeter, 2 millimeter? No, it's 66 millimeters, you schmuck. It's not like you can't find it. That is a government study of scientists. Scientists. But you don't care about science. I don't know, it could be 1 millimeter, 0 millimeters, negative 2 millimeters. I don't know. I'm just making stuff up because I'm a Republican. Keep voting for us. We're the stupid party. And you are, I'm sorry. If you're a Republican and you vote for Republicans for other reasons, because man, I'm greedy, I like tax cuts, or hey, I think there's a little too much regulation, whatever it is that gets you through the night as to why you're voting for a Republican, that's fine. But understand that you're voting for the party that is proud to be ignorant. There's no question about it. They say on national television, I don't know, but I'm gonna make it up anyway. I'm not gonna look at it, I'm not gonna look at science, I'm not gonna look at data. I don't believe in math, I'm the dumbass party. So that's, be proud, raise your hand. Be for Tom Coburn, be for Donald Trump. Do great, great damage to the planet. Just know who you are. You're the dumbass party. Okay, now, we didn't even do all the clips. I got one last one for you guys, but he went on and on. He said, oh, the Arctic ice, I mean, that's not melting. I mean, who got evidence that it melted? Okay, here you go, graphic 63. Average monthly Arctic sea ice extent from 1979 to 2013. Yep, that's melting. Well, I don't know, because I didn't look at the data, because I'm stupid. I'm proud of it.
One last one from Cobra.
I've actually read all of it while I was a U.S. senator. I read all the science, read the hockey stick curve. I read everything that was out there. I don't agree.
Okay.
So he went from I don't know to I mean I read it, but when I looked at the numbers, I didn't agree. I don't agree with numbers. I don't agree with math. I don't agree with science.
Republican Party, own it. Own it. That's who you are. You're the stupid party. Okay, I think I was clear enough on that. We can move forward. All right. Oh, yes, now Cole. Boy, Jesus, Lord, mercy. Okay. Now, Donald Trump tells us that he's going to pull out of the Paris Climate Accord. That's what he's hinting at today. And that he's doing it because of the jobs, and we're going to bring the American economy back and all that stuff. In fact, let's go to the head of the EPA, Scott Pruitt, here. This is when he was talking about deregulations of coal plants.
Secretary Zinke and Secretary Perry and myself were there to recognize the signing of an executive order that said the war on coal is done. It's over. It's something that's really sad over the last several years that a regulatory body, the federal government of the United States, would declare a war on any part of our economy.
So sad. They're not going to stand for that. Coal's coming back. In fact, Donald Trump during the campaign said, my administration is putting an end to the war on coal. We're going to have clean coal, really clean coal. What does that mean? Fool. All right. And then he went on to say, then this is fun. He said, miners, get ready, because you're going to be working your asses off. That was back then. What are they saying now? Well, His top economic advisor is Gary Cohn, who used to run Goldman Sachs. And he just said, quote, coal doesn't make sense anymore. Oops, they're just messing with you. They knew all along the coal jobs aren't coming back. You knew that too. Because it doesn't make economic sense. It costs more now, and hence it's losing out to competition. By the way, a lot because of fracking. And so it's not that it's like a liberal position. No, liberals don't like fracking either. But economically, fracking is kicking coal's ass, let alone solar and wind, etc. So now that they're in office, they're like, we were just playing with you. You're so stupid. We told you these fairy tales about how your coal jobs are going to come back. No, we're pathological liars. We just want to trick you and get your vote. And the guy saying it is the guy who used to run Goldman Sachs. During the campaign, they ran against Goldman Sachs. Now they're just rubbing your face in it. Gary Cohn also went on to say, called natural gas, quote, such a, quote, cleaner fuel. So he's saying fracking's the way to go. Natural gas is a cleaner fuel. Gee, I wonder which way Goldman Sachs is investing. Anyway, I was told that the global financial elites were the problem until they were all over Trump's cabinet. Okay, finally, Gary Cohn says, if you think about how solar and how much wind power we've created in the United States, we can be manufacturing powerhouse and still be environmentally friendly. I don't remember Trump talking about solar and wind power, though. So if you thought that Trump was on your side and you're happy that he's pulling out of international agreements on climate change because you think it's going to get you jobs in the coal industry, well, they've got a fun surprise ahead for you. And it's a lump of coal in your stockings, if you will. No, they're not going to get you any jobs. They got a Goldman Sachs guy running the operation going, no, it never made any sense in the first place. We were just messing with you. Okay, now we turn to Portland real quick. Okay, recently there was an attack in Portland by a white supremacist named Jeremy Joseph Christian. And the first time we report the story, we give you the name. Afterwards, we try to leave it out to the best of our abilities because we don't want to give these guys any kind of what they're looking for is glory in their idiotic, demented minds. Anyway, so police say Jeremy Joseph Christian, 35 years old, who has ties to the white supremacy, targeted the girls for religiously and racially motivated reasons. So what had happened was Friday night on a train, he goes and starts yelling at these two girls. One is a Muslim girl wearing a hijab, the other one's African American, and he's yelling terrible things at him. A couple of American heroes stand up and tell him not to do that, and he stabs them. And he murdered two of them and brutally cut up the third, who barely survived. A witness says that he was yelling, get off the bus and get out of the country because you don't pay taxes here. Now, of course, that's not true. They're American citizens, but since he's a racist and a white supremacist by definition, he thinks, no, if you don't look like me, then you don't belong here. He told one of the girls, go back to Saudi Arabia. We have no idea where the girl's family is actually from. Mother of the victim, Deanna Hudson, said he was saying things about how Muslims should die and how they've been killing Christians for years. I feel like I've seen that propaganda somewhere before, but I was told that was harmless, that it was just truth telling about how dangerous Muslims were and how you had to make sure that you profile them and you know, you had to treat them differently than the other religions. So don't worry, guys. Jeremy Joseph Christian took your words to heart. In a report released earlier this month, CARE said the organization recorded over 2,200 anti-Muslim bias incidents in 2016. That's a 57% increase from the year before. So it's not just anecdotal, and it's not just this particular attack. It is happening at a much greater pace, because when you have guys like Donald Trump and others going around saying Muslims are different, our country has a problem, it's the Muslims, they should get out, we're gonna do a permanent ban on Muslims. Lo and behold, lunatics like this get it in their heads that Muslims are the problem. Now, speaking of President Trump, I'm sure that he responded to this act of terrorism. That's what it is. I mean, somebody for a political purpose and a religious purpose, and he's a white supremacist for a racial purpose, is targeting innocent civilians and murdering them to terrorize others. It's a textbook definition of terrorism, and I know Donald Trump cares a lot about terrorism. So that's why he leapt on it right away on Friday, just like he did with any kind of terrorist attack in Paris and London, etc. And this is here in America, it's in Portland. Oh, he didn't say anything Friday. Okay, that's understandable. It happened on Friday. So he had all of Saturday to respond. Saturday, right? No. Sunday, no. Finally, on Monday, after he'd received a ton of media criticism, he sent one tweet, said, the violent attacks in Portland on Friday are unacceptable. The victims were standing up to hate and intolerance. Our prayers are with them. I was like, I read that and I was like, that doesn't sound like him. No, the real Donald Trump would have said like, this is sad, they're all babies, or whatever some stupid ass thing that he would have said. So I looked into it further. You know what that's from? That's from his official account, not the account that he actually tweets from. That's some aide who was like, oh, we're getting a lot of criticism. Somebody write up some anodyne thing and put it on Twitter. Donald Trump didn't write that. He has two different accounts. One is the official one that puts out statements like that, that are just clean and are normal statements that a president would put out. And the other one is Donald Trump himself that says things like kofefe. So that's not even his own tweet. That's how little he cares about it 3 days later. Okay, so that's Donald Trump. It's unsurprising because he thinks these guys helped him to win the election. Now, terrorist is in open court and he's going to yell and explain why he did it, including at what appeared to be some of the victims' families. So let's listen.
39 from the Metropolitan.
Free speech or die, Portland. You got no safe place. This is America. Get out if you don't like free speech.
954039 from the Metropolitan Public Defender. With me is Dean Smith, 92464-7, also from the Public Defender's Office. We're appointed by OPDS to represent this defendant.
Death to the enemies of America. Leave this country if you hate our freedom. Death to Antifa. You call it terrorism, I call it patriotism. You hear me? Die.
I believe I've heard that in other places too. He said there's no safe spaces here. This is freedom of speech. It's not freedom of speech to murder two people. Show me graphic 14. This is the guy who survived, Mika David Cole Fletcher, American hero who helped us step in here. This is what he did to this poor kid. No, that's graphic 21. That's show me graphic 14 when he's in the hospital. And he thinks, no, I'm just exercising my free speech rights. Now, when you cut someone open like that, and sorry to show that to you, but on the left, you see how he cut him open. He had bone fragments in his throat. That is not free speech. What you did to the other two, one was a Republican, 53-year-old was in the Army, military most of his life, had four kids, cut him open, cut his throat open, killed him. The other two, all three of them, absolute American heroes. And he murders them and goes, oh yeah, you don't want any safe spaces. Well, that's exactly why you would want a safe space, so you don't get murdered by a lunatic like this. Free speech, free speech. No, speech is speech. Murder is murder. And yes, you're absolutely, positively a terrorist. Even though the media doesn't like to call it that way, they only call it terrorism if it's someone who's Muslim. Well, when you target someone for political reasons and you terrorize just like he's doing there, absolutely the correct word is terrorism. Why don't you just say it? I hear that if you say it, the problem goes away. I'm not afraid of his speech, and I'm not afraid of this guy anymore either, because we're going to lock him up for the rest of his life and bring him to justice. Young Turks.